This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Ramble.
You're a real person, not a recording. I'd be like, nope, I have hair, emotions, everything. I'm a human.
Then I come home and like some roommates are home and I'd open my bathroom door and it's like, someone destroyed my bathroom.
You've got yourself a poopy ghost.
Poopy ghost.
Those are the worst ones. Walking by Shane. And for whatever reason, I know this sounds corny, but for whatever reason, I felt like, I'm going to know that dude. Interesting.
I had Demi's old dressing room, I believe.
Really?
I believe mine
Demi
was...
Lovato?
Was it haunted? It was haunted by Demi Lovato.
He's still very much alive.
Cool. I'm really excited.
Burp. I'm going to burp, and I don't want to... This is your brand?
It's okay.
Okay, it was a false alarm.
That was gross.
Whoa.
What a way to start this beautiful podcast.
Oh, I hope
Hello.
We haven't started yet.
We have.
Oh, God.
Welcome to another episode of the Smoshcast. It is Courtney hosting today with my boys, Shane Topp and Damien Hungs.
I'm the second one.
Damien Hungs.
I'm so excited to do this with you guys today.
Me too.
Like, just love spending time with you guys.
I do too.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning and forgot about it for the first part of my morning. So I was like, I was ready to roll in like completely like 5 days unshaven, a sloppy shirt, just like my glasses. And I was just like, oh, wait, I am going to have to be on camera today. I should probably give a crap about my...
I love rugged Damien.
Oh, yeah.
I love rugged Smosh boys.
You don't say.
Yeah. Thank you.
Colonel.
Colonel, I'm dummy thick.
Would you grow a mustache?
Never just a mustache. It doesn't compliment my face very well. I did once for a short film that my friends were doing, but beyond that, nah.
Really?
But you have darker hair. See, I feel like for me, I can't, because with blondish hair, a mustache would look like I'd end up on, you know, some sort of Netflix documentary about how I'm the worst person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, that's like...
We're calling you out, Gus Johnson.
Oh,
those
no.
Those with blonde mustaches.
Blonde mustaches make you a criminal. They make you, like, literally,
look at
him. Are you
saying Gus Johnson's a criminal?
Yeah,
look,
dude.
It makes him look like, possibly. I think he would agree.
Maybe.
I feel like our number one comment is going to be from Gus Johnson being like, hey, don't speak for me anymore. Don't do that.
Hey, man, I help you guys out a lot, and wow, okay.
You know
that's
what
my
wish?
Gus Johnson impression.
I want to see everyone in this, because we have a lot of bearded and like facially hairy men in this Smosh staff.
We do.
I would just love to have one mustache Monday just for me.
Well, yeah, that was the joy of when we had Joe Beretta around. Mm. You know, Matt Robb and Ian both have beards. I say Ian needs to go mustache Ian soon.
I'd love to see that.
Because we've seen beard Ian a lot. We need mustache Ian.
Yeah, but not like handlebar mustache like he's done in the past.
Like, I think reverse Hitler, like just missing here.
Just missing
in
the middle.
On the sides.
Yeah, yeah. Mustache around, but not under the nostrils.
I feel like, Shane, you could totally just rock like the simple upper lip.
The hipster mustache?
I think you could totally do it. I see it. Your hair's not that blonde.
It's salt and peppery, I guess.
But it's visible, though. Like, you can see it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I
don't know. Every time I've done it, I'm like, it's not visible enough.
Mm.
It's kind of just like, oh, just did you get a tan right there?
Mustache Monday, guys.
Okay.
I want Mustache Monday. I'll do it, too.
You know what? If Tinder for hot dogs gets 10,000 likes, we'll do.
Uh-oh, yeah. That's right. That's out today, ladies and gentlemen.
And
Tinder
speaking
for
which,
hot dogs.
You're wearing the Smosh shirt? I'm wearing
the Tinder for hot dogs shirt. You can still get it. If you get it, you will feel powerful. You will be stronger. You will run faster. You will ace your exams, I promise.
I don't think legally we can make those kinds of promises.
No, it's just a nice shirt.
And look down. Then the hat. He's wearing the hat. He's wearing a hat.
Smosh hat.
And we're drinking. I got two beverages going on out of these Smosh cups.
Your thirst will be so much more quenched by a Smosh water bottle.
Hold on.
I don't think you can say any of that.
Yes, it will be more quenched than if you drink water on its own. It's not as good.
My roommate was listening to that video last night, and I just came downstairs hearing like, "What were you learning?" I was like, "Oh yeah, you're my roommate, huh?"
That's my favorite video, dude. Yeah. How's that been? How's it been living with Mark?
It's great. For those of you that don't know, my roommate is Mark Robb, also known as Matt Robb, our boss's little brother.
And they look exactly the same.
They look the same. Boys, their speech patterns are the same, but Mark is a certified weeb like myself. So we're always just talking about video games, and like we watched the My Hero Academia movie last night.
Aww.
It's good. He's a... coming from Matt Robb's place, like, they're big on family. Family is important to them. So when we moved in together, he was like, you know, I'm reclusive. Like, mm-hmm. I stay in my room even though I've got whole apartment to myself. I am. And then he is too. So he was like, you know, the only thing I ask is that once a week we have some form of like family time, whether we make a dinner together or we watch a movie or something like that.
Fly and I was kite at the park.
Fly kite at the park and I'm the kite.
Play catch.
play catch and I'm the ball. But, you know, I like it a lot. It feels good. It feels like, you know, I don't have a lot of connections that I hold on to necessarily, so it's important to have that in the home space.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, that's really sweet. I had no idea that he did that. I think that's something really nice.
He's a good dude.
I've always liked Mark. Yeah, he has a very, like, meme-type humor.
He is a meme.
He literally is a meme lord.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he. I think he was one of the first, like, meme lords in our office.
He was making memes for the Smosh Games Instagram for a while.
And
he was like kind of, he was taking a pretty big part in, like, some of the Smosh Games content when mm-hmm. Matt Robb was in our office.
He was the originator of Munge.
That's right.
He was off camera saying Munge, and then it became a Shane thing.
What happened was we were, I think it's in the footage of the MariCraft, mm-hmm. is you hear off camera, because I'm trying to come up with words. I'm like, what's a word for this? And off camera, Mark Robb just yells, Munge. And I start laughing, and I'm like, great. And I just started using it a ton. Mm-hmm. So that voice that's off camera that you hear is Mark Robb.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
And we've come full circle.
Yep.
That's great.
Now he's my roommate.
I miss having roommates. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah?
Yeah. I feel like I like living alone. Mm-hmm. But after we had that, like, Smosh party over the weekend...
Oh, the Smosh summer party.
The Smosh summer party.
Nice.
Yeah, that was just a fun little night. And, like, seeing our crew's house was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's how my previous roommates, that's how we wanted our place to look when we lived together.
Man.
But, like, we were all, like, too poor and, like, couldn't make it happen.
Yeah.
And it was also three guys. It was our first time living away from home. And
that's tough.
I love you, but Mama Fairy is gone.
Yep.
The dishes don't disappear anymore.
Also, shame on you if you already made your mom do all the dishes.
Yeah.
Pull some weight, kids.
Dude, coming from a lot of siblings, we all had those chores. I came from doing... My favorite chore growing up was sweeping and doing the floors. So And I was the only one really doing that for the most part at the apartment. But,
oh, snap. You hear that, apartment mates?
Uh-oh.
Called out.
Uh-oh.
I think there's just a lot people forget that need to be cleaned in an apartment. Mm-hmm. Like, floors.
It's also a tough thing with roommates because I feel like I live alone and I have for most of my life. And I will go through phases where I'm bad at doing the dishes or whatever or taking out the trash.
Fair.
And you go in and out of those. But when you live with roommates, you really notice when your roommates are going through that phase. But you're unaware of when you're going through that phase.
Yeah.
So that can be tough.
There's less pressure because you know if you're okay with it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about, like, you know, Mark and I being roommates last night. Like, there were a ton of dishes piled up and I was like, hey, what's the deal with the dishwasher? He's like, oh, it's full. I'll deal with it later. And I was like, great. As soon as you do that, I'll do the dishes and put them in and reload it. And it's like, great. So as long as there's open communication, it's fine.
Right.
But if there wasn't that, it would be an issue.
I think when Damien and I lived together, what's tough is when you have more than three roommates, because mm-hmm. yeah. that communication oh becomes impossible.
Yeah.
And
it's harder to place blame and stuff.
We sometimes we filtered through a lot of roommates in that year. Really? That I was there.
Yeah.
It was a total. How many people overall? There was four at a time, right?
It was four, the four of us to start. Then one of our roommates left out of town or moved out. And so we had another girl that I knew from college come live with us. Then another roommate of mine that was a friend from college left for a while and had a couple move in and take his space. And then they left. He came back. And then his boyfriend moved in. And so, and that was tricky for me because living with a couple is very difficult. Mm-hmm. So
we had two different couples.
Two different
and
couples.
Both times, look, I'll throw shade because I don't know them that well. Both times we weren't aware it was going to be a couple.
Oh,
I wasn't aware that
no.
it was going to be a couple. I think the second time
he asked my permission, he's like, "Would you be comfortable if my boyfriend moved in?" And I was like, "Let me think about that." And then,
that's right. Yeah, second time was a little bit more known. The first time. I didn't know, and I was like, "What is this?" It was a lot of cars in our driveway, so that would sometimes be a thing. I'd get up 6 a.m. I'd be like, "Well, got to wake up 3 people
to move their
to
cars
get out, mm-hmm. to get out," and that would happen sometimes. Yeah, it was a thing, and then sometimes the dishes were just there.
Oh yeah, they ruined a pan of mine because they scrubbed it with like steel wool, and on the bottom of it was extremely scratched. So I had to like hit up the actual friend that I knew, and I was like, "Hey man, like the friends you had move in, they just destroyed a lot of my like cookware, and I don't really know how to bring it up."
They
like,
were messy. They were messy. People.
We call them. We delightfully and lovingly call them. They were a couple of dirty hippies.
dude, when they first moved in, I pretty quickly was like, "They're kind of dirty," and Damien was giving them the benefit of the doubt. He was like, "Nah, man, they're great. Like, they're good people. Like, you know, I think they're just getting used to it. Maybe they're just like adjusting, whatever." And then, like, cut to 2 months later, Damien's just like, "Oh my god,
oh no!"
Should I tell the gross story?
Oh yeah, I mean, I got a face full of the gross story.
Oh god.
Oh wait. So, oh, there's several. You have a gross. You have a worse
the bathroom
gross story.
One.
I have a different gross story. All
here,
right. You go
me.
First.
So this is really rough, y'all. Prepare yourself. Skip to like a minute and a half from now if gross things ain't your thing.
Yeah.
So I just opened the door one day to the bathroom that was shared. There were two bathrooms. One was me and this couple, and the first couple, the hippie one.
Uh-huh.
Not the ones that I actually knew.
Yeah.
And so I open up the door, and I'm just hit with this ungodly smell.
Oh,
and I realize
no.
The girl in the couple was on her period.
Uh-huh.
She had taken out a tampon and wrapped it in a toilet paper roll to be like, "I'll deal with this later." Left it on the counter and wasn't running the fan, was running the heater. So it was a full day of hot air cooked period blunt.
Baked tampon.
That was just like, like it was just.
Bro.
It was, oh my.
That is not cool, man.
It was not particularly hygienic.
That is that.
That was.
But she must have been so embarrassed.
I didn't bring it up.
I don't think so. I don't.
You just threw it away and moved on?
No, but also I can't stress, like, they seemed like people that didn't care.
Yeah.
They were nice, too.
Like, they were
nice
really
people.
Nice.
Look, I have relatives who are like this. People who just aren't bothered by messiness at all. So their apartments will be messy. Their homes will be super messy. And it doesn't bother them. That's fine. But when you live with roommates, that gets really tough because I'm super bothered by that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, living alone, I can handle disorganization. I can't handle, like, if a piece of food is just on a counter.
Mm.
I'm like, I got to get – that's gross. That's slimy and gross, and it'll start to smell.
Unless it's bananas,
which I got them all over the place. So my gross story was after they moved out, they were really bad. They would leave food all over the place. They, like – our fridge was gross when they were there because they would just like leave unopened food all over and like not throwing things away.
Mm-hmm.
But after it was like a month after they moved out. And I was like, oh, we're like, thank God they're gone. Like, nice people, but God, I'm so like,
not
they were
good
messy.
Roommates. Nice people, not good roommates.
Right. We were getting a lot of fruit flies. And I was like, what is up with this? I'm like, we're cleaning. I'm like, and we were all. Us all being roommates, we all had our specific cupboards mm-hmm. and like shelves that were ours. So
mm-hmm.
we knew to clean those, take care of those. And we're getting so many fruit flies. I'm like, where are these coming from? They're not coming from the fridge. There's no food out on the counter that I see. Eventually, one night, I look at a cupboard that I'm like, whose cupboard is that? None of us have been using that mm-hmm. for a while. So I go and I open it. And I'm talking like a horror movie, just a swarm of fruit flies.
Winnie the Pooh style, like a cartoon swarm.
Like a cloud of black flies out. And I think Damien probably heard from his room me just going, oh my God! And he comes out to the kitchen, he's like, what? Flies everywhere.
No.
And what they had left was like, honest to God, we don't know.
Some fruit.
It was a literal black sludge. It wasn't even the shape of a fruit or anything anymore. It was just black.
And it was high up. It was high up in one mm-hmm. of the top shelves of a cupboard. So we just didn't see it and somehow didn't smell it. And it just rotted.
Oh,
and
God.
I mean, it was awful. We threw that away and then set up a ton of fruit fly traps and just had just... Oh, God.
No.
So this brings us all back to the original point. Courtney, you miss having roommates?
Do you miss having roommates, Courtney?
I think if I were to go back into the roommate gang game, it'd have to be in a house like the crew did. And it has to be like people that I know, and I don't want to be people that are moving out of their mommy's house for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Noah, sorry, you're out of the race if we were ever to become roommates because you used to live with your mommy. but yeah, that's awful. It never got bad like that for me.
Mm. Well, and also for the crew living together, they're all a little bit older.
And just cooler.
Because, you know, like, I look back on what I was even like when we were still roommates, whatever, and I was 22, 23.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I am much more organized and clean now than I was then.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the fact of the matter, I think.
Yeah. I had a mystery pooper, though.
No.
So when I first moved into our place, I was like, guys, sorry, like, I need the master because I need my bedroom connected to my bathroom because, like, I'm the only girl in the house. And
I think that's totally fair.
You know, I like to walk from between my bathroom and my bedroom and don't have clothes on yet.
Is that how you presented it, though? Like, sorry, guys, it's just the way it is. I have to.
I said, I was like, well, I paid more for it and stuff. Yeah. But, like, so I had my own bathroom. And I had a squatty potty, a nice one. To this day, I still have it. It's like a nice wooden one. Squatty potties, guys, get them. They help you with your poops, and they're very comfortable.
Yeah, I don't need help.
I have a pull-up bar above my toilet, and I hang upside down.
You don't even poop. You just lift once, and it stays in the same spot. The poop just suspends in air.
I hang like a bat from my ceiling.
Oh, my God.
And just poop down my – just trails down my back.
It's only natural, you guys. It's how we were designed.
Guys, it's new age medicine. It's how you rid your body of toxins.
I do a pull-up, and then I kiss a little essential oil right at the top, which also helps
me
poop. Oh,
my God. What is this? Squatty potties? What are you, in the 70s?
Is that a 70s thing?
No.
Oh.
I was just trying to make squatty potties sound old.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Okay, so I had a squatty potty, and this is a commodity, you know? Some people need
commodity.
So sometimes, like, after a day of being away, I leave my apartments clean, smelling normal, then I come home, and, like, some roommates are home, and I open my bathroom door, and it's like, whew, someone destroyed my bathroom while I was away.
Ooh, there's been
Does
a
happen
murder.
More than once?
Uh-huh. And I would, we'd had a group chat, and I'd be like, hey, guys, please ask me before you enter my space and use my bathroom. Like, yeah. if you need to use my bathroom, go for it. But, like, I feel uncomfortable when people go through my, open my door that's shut, go mm-hmm. through my bedroom into the bathroom and not
totally.
Say anything.
Totally, totally.
So, like, they would all be like, yeah, for sure, totally. And then it happened
One
again.
Of them's a liar.
And I was like, dude, unless there's some,
and they
the
just
landlord's
flush?
Coming. No, they would flush. It would just smell awful or, like, clearly things that were moved around.
You've got yourself a poopy ghost.
Poopy ghost. Mm,
those are the worst ones.
And then it got to the point where, like, two of the roommates were like, dude, I seriously don't know what the hell's going on. One of them had their own bathroom as well. Like, they were attached to a bathroom, so there was no reason for them to go into mine.
There was three total bathrooms?
There's two. Oh. So it was, like, a one that was, it was connected to another bedroom and connected to the kitchen.
Mm. What probably happened is one of them was using it, and the other one had to take a just massive dump mm-hmm. and was like, I gotta, you know what, I gotta enter the lair.
I don't know.
Dumper's gotta dump, dude.
Dumper's gotta dump.
But it got to the point where I was, like, finding evidence of, like, which roommate it was. Like, a specific kind of...
Steven.
Like, there's a specific kind of hair, and I was like, I know which roommate this
oh
is.
Oh, my God. Well, only one
not
of my roommates takes
hair.
Hairy poops.
Oh, I was like, curly.
Not a... This is... I've seen all your crotches. I know which pubes this was. No, it was... They each had very distinct hairstyles, so it was very obvious, and just, like, it never got addressed. It
oh,
was...
man, that sucks.
Yeah.
There is literally nothing better than... I think the number one perk of living alone is taking dumps in your home mm-hmm. alone is the greatest thing mm-hmm. of all time.
With the door open.
Oh, no. See, I love full-on security. Like, oh. I wish I had a compound, like Area 51, where I'm like, well, I got to use the bathroom. I go, there's an elevator.
Welcome back, sir.
heading down to level 50. It's like, good thing, sir. See you in a month. And, like, I take this elevator down to the core of the earth, and it's a airtight cell. Like, nothing's getting in there. No nukes could not affect this place. And there is a single toilet, and I can use that.
But if What's you die there, bathroom? No one would find you. Oh, what's up?
What is your ideal bathroom? Like, what would you keep in there? In that bathroom in the core of the earth that you, if you died, you'd probably be lost.
You know, probably some nice essential oils, like a, you know, like some nice scents, a candle or two.
Mm. Wow.
One of those, like, old school, like, bathtubs that are kind of, like, out in the open, not attached to a wall.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know,
the claw bathtub.
Yes, yeah. One of those, just right next to it. I would never use it, but it's just there for decoration.
Mm.
Inside of it is a harpist.
Yeah. No, but see, that ruins the vibe. It had to be a robot harpist, because I can't have a human.
Of course.
Can't have a human there.
I thought that was implied.
And yet, somehow, if I had a cat, that cat would still find its way to the doorway of that cell and just be, like, clawing underneath it.
They love rubbing up against my legs when I'm taking a duke.
Oh, my God.
There is something cats just despise when you close the door and take a dump. They're like, no. You,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in there?
It's weird, actually, because I was helping someone who had gotten a cat, and it's, like, actually good to put their litter boxes in more social places, like, instead of hiding it away.
Huh.
So I wonder if they're like, why are you hiding your poops? You gotta be social with your poops.
Cats love to give a show. All right, everyone, if you would look towards the foyer,
hey,
I
everybody.
Am going to drop...
Duke.
Several Duke.
Okay.
What are you staring for? It's a party. Hey.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Anyways.
Did you have a bathroom connected to the guest house when you
no,
were living together?
No. When I lived with
together?
Damien, I lived in this back house area that was really not meant to be
Let's
lived
Let's just
in.
Call it a sunroom attached to a garage.
That's really what it was. It had
it
cement
was
walls.
Not a guest house.
Cement walls, terracotta floor.
Well, your back wall was the neighbor's fence.
Yes, my back wall was
the gate.
Yeah, the back wall was the cement wall that the other side was another person's backyard. Another wall was just the wall for the garage, and it had a window into the garage, even though it would be pitch black at night. So I'm like,
that I ran an extension cord through, so you could
it
use
was
power.
Awesome.
You're
Damien,
welcome.
Damien was super useful in, like, setting up, because it really wasn't meant to be lived in. It had one outlet, and we were, like, trying to figure out. But so I put my wardrobe up against that window, even though late at night, like, I'd be sleeping, and I would see the light go on if people were doing laundry or whatever.
Oh my God.
It was not ideal, huh?
And that garage was also just kind of creepy, because it was just dirty and, like, weird.
Yeah. Found a had a stray cat get in there once. That was an adventure.
We had a bunch of, stray cats. We had a family of stray cats in our backyard, and they would chill on my sunroof a lot of the times. So I'd wake up and just see a couple like laying on it.
Oh.
Speaking of laying around your guest house, you had an interesting thing happen.
Oh,
then.
Yeah. I want to hear this story.
So, yeah, the guest house had a sliding glass door, which when I first moved in didn't have curtains or anything. So it was just kind of like, here I am. Here's my whole room. So I had to put up curtains. But they were kind of like I could see shadows moving back and forth on the other side of it. And, you know, people would go in and out. We didn't use our front door a lot because I think it was kind of broken, right?
Was it? Oh, that sounds right.
The front door was broken, so you had to use the back door. So people would enter and exit through the back door. And so I got very used to that. And one day I'm at home, and all of a sudden I see a couple figures walk past. And I'm like, who is that? And they just go to our backyard, but they're walking slowly. And I'm like, what is this?
What time
this?
Of day was it?
Middle of the day.
Mm-hmm. What?
Like middle of the day. I just want to say 2 or 3 o'clock p.m. Damien's not home. I'm home, and one of our other roommates is home. And she was inside the main house. So I kind of like look out one of my windows, and I see it's just two teenagers. Clearly like a couple. Like, I don't know how old. I'm assuming teenagers. They look like teenagers. And they're kind of like walking around, and I'm just like, what the hell are they doing trespassing in our backyard? And they go around our corner to the other side where it's just an at like
the side yard.
Side yard, whatever. And they walk back there, and I'm like, what are they doing back there? And suddenly I see his feet just like laying out from the side. And I'm like, all right, I don't know what they're doing. I become like an old man here. I'm like, what are these teens doing back here?
Well, you texted me.
I texted Damien, and as they were walking back, I sent him a photo of just these people in our backyard. I'm just like, there are people in our backyard. I don't know what they're doing here. They didn't do anything because I opened up my sunglass door. I run into the house, shut the door kind of hard so that I'm like, they'll hear that.
Ooh.
And I talked to my other roommate. I'm like, there are some teens in our backyard. There are teens in our backyard, and they're up to mischief. And she kind of walks out, and we're in the kitchen, and we're just like, she's like, what are they doing? I'm like, I don't know what they're doing. And all of a sudden, they come back around, and they're just in the backyard, and they're kind of looking through our window. They probably saw us just looking at them, and they just slowly make their way back and just leave.
Oh, my
God. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't know if they're trying to, like,
I think they were trying to, like, find a nice secluded spot to make whoopee, if we're going to keep sounding like elderly folks.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Because I'm assuming, like, they probably live on the street with their family, so they have no privacy or whatever. And so they thought, you know the best place to find privacy? Someone else's backyard. Jeez.
Where there are several cars in the driveway.
Oh, tons of, like, obvious people are home. And I'm like, what are you thinking?
What the hell?
And also, they're lucky, like, I'm like, there's a lot of crazy people that lived on that street. I'm like,
if you would have been a territorial person who's like, get off my property, I have a gun. Like, that could have gone south real quick.
Dude, that happens. Like, there are crazy people who are excited about the idea of someone entering their property unwanted.
They're ready to go.
I'm like, they're lucky that I was like, just leave, please. I'm glad I didn't have to confront them. I'm glad they just left.
I can't believe it was in the middle of the day.
Yeah. A lot of it made no sense.
And you mean like, really like young teens or like 17?
Yeah, probably more like that. They could have been 20 for all I know. Like I had no idea, but he looked like a young skater dude. And his skater girlfriend. Like, that's what they looked like.
Sick.
Oh, sick, dude. Dope. It was one of the weirdest instances there. And we also had, I was also wasn't sure if it would be, we had a neighbor who was an elderly man who had a little bit of dementia.
I think he was suffering from
sometimes
dementia.
Sometimes would kind of enter our property as well, like bring in our trash cans or whatever. He was a really sweet guy. But so I was kind of used to that idea of, there might be, could be a number of people.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
That's scary, man. Like, living alone, I think the one thing that, other than, like, the fact that you don't have roommates, they're, like, around, chumming around, being buddies.
Yeah, pooping in your toilet.
Pooping in my stuff.
Pooping everywhere.
The fear factor. Like, when I had Django, there was one time when someone, like, entered my little yard area, and, like, that scared the shit out of me. I was like middle of the night. I woke up to Django growling, which he always does. Like, he'll just hear a noise and he'll growl a little bit, and I'll like calm him down, go back to sleep. But like, I don't calm him down too much because I actually like
like that behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, I was very lucky that he happened to be a really good watchdog. But one night he was really growling and I heard a gate open and I couldn't tell if it was mine or the person next to me. But then next thing you know, I hear my motion detecting camera go off, like on my phone, like seconds after my dog detected the person. And I look at the video and this man like busted through. And I think, and he looked like he was drunk, but I couldn't tell if he noticed the camera and ran away or like didn't even mean to push my door open. But at the time, the gate was like really hard to open. Like I've had to adjust it and fix it to make it easier. So I think it took a little bit of work for him to get that thing open. I was terrified. Luckily, the neighbor above me, I texted her. I was like, hey, do you know what's going on? And she sent her, like, gladiator giant boyfriend out to He closed my gate for me and even walked around. I, like, called the police and reported it and stuff since I have the video. But, like, that stuff freaks me the hell out. And, like, if I didn't have the roommate to text, like, I wouldn't have been – I didn't sleep very good that night anyway.
Of course,
but, like,
man.
That stuff's scary, dude. Yeah. Like, and that's why it's cool. Like, that – I grew up being surrounded by people my whole life. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's what's nice about living – that is a perk also of living in an apartment complex.
Yeah.
It's like there are people who are generally in the room next to you who will hear stuff. Like, I live in a very busy apartment complex, and there are constantly people, like, walking past. Like, you're never going to get a chance to, like – there will be people around. My landlord lives in the room next to mine, which – it's the only perk, I would say.
Mm. Your landlord lives next to you?
She lives in the, or she's, yeah, she's often in the apartment, like right next to mine, which usually sucks because it's just like, like I can't make too much noise probably.
Yeah.
But she's often like out and about, so she would see anything suspicious. Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, I had something weird kind of happen the other day that you reminded me of.
Oh my God, yeah, dude.
I think I mentioned this to you.
Apartment life.
So I was streaming on Saturday, and then when I finally finished up, I looked at my phone, and I had like a bunch of missed texts and calls from my roommate, and it was only like 15 minutes before the end of my stream, so I just missed it, but it was all like, hey, man, a little urgent. Can you come down here? Hey, dude, super urgent. Check your phone. Dude, cops are here. And it was like, whoa. What? And so apparently the lady that lived next to me, who was a little older, and you know, I'd only met her because I moved in pretty recently, so I'd only met her once or twice. She had just gotten out of the hospital. Apparently she passed away and had been there for quite some time, which is, you know, there's dying alone is incredibly sad, but for like no one to notice for a long time, that really sucks. And so they wanted to talk to me because I had seen an ambulance outside of our place leaving her area like a few weeks back. So I honestly thought she had passed away then.
You told me about that.
Yeah.
You go, I remember it was a few weeks ago. You were like, I think my neighbor passed away. And I was like,
oh my
God,
my
I'm
goodness.
So sorry.
So
yeah.
I thought it happened. So I came home from work, right? And I see a firefighter slash paramedic come out of her place, and I like nod and smile, and he sort of gives a look like, you know, like a solemn nod
grim.
And pursed lips. And then another guy comes out, and I nod and smile, and he does the same kind of like grim look. And so I thought she'd passed then, but for her to, I guess she passed after that. And so whatever, but either way, it was just, it kind of screwed me up all weekend because one, the idea of it is very sad, but two, like, there's this very thin wall, you know, separating me from a person decaying for like a week, 2 weeks. I don't know, but it was just like, oof. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
I'm surprised if she was having like recurring things like that, that she wasn't in hospice or.
Well, she had like a lot of helpers. Like I'd often see people leaving her place who looked like they just made like a delivery and she'd be like, all right, thank you very much. Thank you. Goodbye. And so I think like, can you deliver this and also help me reach this light bulb kind of situation?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like hospice type stuff where someone will come by for a few hours a day.
I think it happens a lot. And I think with, you know, with elderly people who live alone, I mean, it just happens, man. I mean, I certainly hope, you know, she might have just passed away in her sleep or something like that.
Well, they also wanted to talk to me and Roomie Mark because they were saying like, yeah, we have to make sure it's not a murder. And I'm like,
oh my God.
What?
Like, do you think she, like, maybe she fell?
I think it was probably a slip and fall situation. That was my guess. I don't know anything about it. And it even feels weird to, you know, but still.
It's so crazy, like, when it's real. Like, because you hear about it or see it in movies and you're like, oh, it's this thing. But then when it's real, it's like not the same at all.
It happens all the time. It's weird because in these past couple of weeks, I've read several stories about that where it, much worse, where it left, like, people for years.
You were mentioning that.
There was some story I read, I don't have the link or anything, but I think it happened in Sweden. An elderly woman, it was like 10 years.
Oh, my God.
In her Christ. Place. And some, like, she had automatic payments set up for everything, so no bills, like, racked up. And somehow the smell or whatever didn't, you know, get around.
God.
So, you know, it is really sad, though, because that, you know, a lot of elderly people, maybe they just don't have family or whatever.
That sucks that they were just eating away at her funds, too, like, as for years.
Well, yeah, because that means those payments shouldn't have been a thing because it's not a... Yeah.
Should've stopped.
It's tough, man. Mm. It's so tough.
I don't think she was watching Black Mirror in her afterlife, you know, paying for that Netflix.
I think also there's a lot of... My grandmother was, you know, she lived alone up until the very end, and, like, a lot of people are just very proud and they don't want to go live in a home or whatever, mm-hmm. so they want to live by themselves. But at that age, anything can happen. I mean, it just sucks, but...
Sorry to make this a downer.
No, it's okay. And
this,
like,
is weird.
I will say, it also reminds me, forever ago, and I've thought about it myself too, because I'm always like, in my apartment by myself, if I ever start choking, my immediate thing before I even try to
get it
out is I'm like, I'm going to open up my front door and I'm going to, or at least leave the front door open. So that I'm like, if I choke, whatever, people will, like...
You should have a little metal pipe by your door so that you can go out to, like, a gate or something and be like, ring ding 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 ding, and, like, really...
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone should just have a bell.
Yeah. But like in the Old West when they would avoid getting buried alive, so they'd have a bell attached to the coffin.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that that's a thing, that people would have the bell. I wonder if it was effective.
I don't think it... I think you'd probably suffocate.
No, I think there are stories of those.
Is that effective? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Hey. God, that would be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude. That sucks.
Just ringing the bell over and over again.
And nobody hears.
Someone's like, hey, that's a very lively skeleton. Better leave him be.
God damn,
that's
dude.
That's adorable.
Have you ever lived alone, Damien?
I have. My first ever bachelor pad after Shane and I were on Disney, I lived alone. It was... Looking back, the prices 9 years ago, I was just like, I paid that for my own apartment with laundry? Like, oh, man, I miss those days.
Aww.
It was a great apartment. I really enjoyed it. I became too reclusive because that's my natural state, and I think that's why it's good for me to live with people. Mm-hmm. Like, I realized other than, like, recording voiceover auditions, because that's right when I started that out, I would go, like, literal days without talking to or seeing another human being. And I was like, ooh, I like this too much.
Oh.
I need to not do this for my health, probably.
Yeah, dang.
It was a great apartment. I would never have left except for, you know, I wanted to live with roommates again, and that's when I moved into that house with Shane and my other buddies. And roots often grew into the pipe system, so sometimes it would back up, and me being on the bottom floor, I often had poop tornadoes come out of my tub.
No!
Yeah. And I was like... I ended up cleaning it up myself because I'm like, I'm not going to hire some poor old lady to be like, hey, can you come on by and clean the crap out of my tub?
God.
Don't worry, none of it's mine.
I swear it's not mine.
It's not my poop. I know my poop. It's not my poop.
I love the smell of my poop. It definitely doesn't smell like this.
Mm, I just remembered the smell. Mm-hmm.
That's brutal.
Nope.
Oh, God.
Bathroom was nice, though. We're talking like... all black stone countertops and black stone floor and original crown molding. It was great.
How long did you guys live together?
About a year.
Only a year?
That's a little longer, right?
Like maybe a month or two longer.
I think at that time, that's when I started dating an ex-girlfriend, and I ended up spending most of my time at her place, as those things go. So we were still roommates for a big chunk of it, but I would only check in once every couple weeks and be like, hi, I live here.
Also, you were connected. Shane's thing was connected to the place.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, did you have to go, like, when you had to go to the bathroom?
I'd have to open up my sliding, if it was in the middle of the night, I would have to open up my sliding glass door, walk out, like, past, like, kind of just up some steps to the back door, unlock it, get inside, then use the bathroom, then get back out, relock the door, go back, open up my sliding glass door, and then...
Would you ever just be like, I'll hold it. Fuck it.
Sometimes, I mean, it sucked, man. It really, that was probably the worst part about it.
Or, like, what if it was raining?
It never rains.
There was a little awning over the way.
Yeah,
to
it
walk.
Wouldn't bother. But we
it was
also
like a covered driveway.
This was during the 50-year drought that we were in, so rain's not a problem. Yeah, that was probably the toughest part. And then also during summer.
Oh God! It,
so the sun would go through the sunroof, heat up that room because it's cement and terracotta, and it would be, I think it was around in the 90s in my room.
Jesus.
It was a little greenhouse effect because it was a greenhouse.
It was essentially basically a greenhouse, and it was so hot that I would be dripping sweat in the middle of the night.
Oh,
and
it was dope.
It was really awful. And then in the winter, it would be the opposite, where it'd be like 50 degrees in that room. And I would wake up and just immediately throw a fur blanket around and just like be watching TV in a fur blanket.
See, sounds nice.
It made me really, honestly, before that, I lived in an apartment with great AC and everything and had become very sensitive to temperatures.
Aww.
After that, I can handle anything. Mm. I still don't use my AC that often.
Wow.
I just am like, yeah, I can handle, handle it.
What I did love, though, I'm just getting a lot of like sense memories right now. There's something about your room, the way it was set up. Like, you've always taken great care of your space, right? Like, if you have any extra money, you're like, I want to live in a good, organized space, or I want to buy some clothes that make me feel good about myself. So anyway, going into your room, I remember the smell of like that wardrobe that you bought that was pine. And so it was like a nice pine smell.
Aww.
With the heat mixed with the fabric of like a new sofa, things like that. And I don't know, I really loved being in that space. It was nice to visit.
When the temperature was nice, it was actually, I felt really proud of the room because I had made what was essentially a non-livable space livable.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool. I mean, there was a lot of things that did suck. I'd get a lot of like daddy long legs spiders in there.
But those are friendly.
Those are friendly, but they're just so creepy looking.
Yeah.
So when I'm trying to sleep, the thought of one crawling across my face was not cool. Damien, your room was really cool. I liked your room a lot.
I liked it a lot too. It was the master. Thank you. And you know, because I'm a reclusive person, if my room functions as like a studio apartment, I'm happy. And I also worked out of there because I worked customer support at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I had my computer set up, which I'd built.
It was so funny.
I had a nice bed. I had a couch and a TV. It almost was like a separate seating area. And because everything was a very square layout, you could fit everything. So I really liked that space. I didn't like that the walls were so thin. You could hear everything all the time forever.
See, that was nice for me living out in the... That was a benefit because I was separated. So I felt like I had privacy in that weird way.
Yeah.
But I would wake up some mornings and I would hear Damien doing customer support already. Like, you start super early.
Yeah, so I work the mornings.
So like 5:30 in the morning, or would it be like 6?
It would be like 6 or 7, I think.
Yeah.
But pretty early, especially if I had voiceover to get done first. And I did a little game with myself. I don't think I can say the company I worked for because I don't want to give away like trade secrets or whatever. So I'll just go like bop, bop. And so so I would try to make my voice sound not necessarily robotic, but like a recording, and just it would really disarm people so that when they figured out I was a real person, they'd be like, oh, I forgot that I was pissed off. So I'd be like, thank you for calling Bop Bop Customer Support. My name is Damien. How can I help you today? They'd be like, ah, great, another recording. I'm like, nope, I'm a real person. I promise. And they'd be like...
you can trust me.
You really, you're a real person, not a recording. I'd be like, nope, I have hair, emotions, everything. I'm a human.
Like, did you really say that?
I would say that all the time. I have hair, emotions, everything.
Hair, emotions. That is really what makes a person not a robot.
Yep.
Hair and emotions.
I will say, I had the top customer support rating in the whole gosh dang.
Wow,
thing.
Did they have your picture somewhere?
That's really cool.
I don't think they do because I almost got fired from that job. Because so when I first started there, they were super, that face is incredible. Be sure to watch the podcast to see that face. So when I first started there, they were super like, you know what? We do customer support differently. We want to be the place that'll like fix it no matter what. So if someone needs like a refund, great. If somebody needs a couple free this, great. Like whatever you do can make to make them happy, we want to keep that reputation. And it was like, great. And then slowly but surely that became like, all right, guys, we're a corporation and we need more numbers, better numbers, bigger numbers. Do it faster, do it better. And so I was still in the mindset of like, I want to help people. Like people would call in and be like, you know, hi, I'm wheelchair bound. I can't move anything but my neck. I will be using voice to speech to type in things today and I can't get into my account. That call might take me an hour to try to get that person into their account. And I'm going to do that. So my numbers started to dwindle when it was like, hey, you didn't answer 16 emails this hour. And you're like, that's correct. I was helping a disabled old man. It was like, well, that's great and everything, but you got to. So I was just like, I'm going to keep doing this. I will try my best to do what you guys want, but I was hired with the mindset of like, let's help people. That's what makes me enjoy this job. So
it's so stupid.
By the end of it, I quit. And my direct supervisor was like, I'm glad you came to this decision on your own. Yeah, I was just like, yeah, well, piece. So,
jeez.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I remember one time, somehow you hurt your neck at one point. So I remember you had like that, one of those like,
oh yeah,
neck pillow things, and like you were doing customer support, like this statue with this neck pillow, just like, thanks for calling me. Oh, my name's Damien, how can I help you today?
I have hair, emotions, everything.
Pretty much everything.
It would be so funny though, waking up sometimes at like 6 a.m, like getting ready to go to the gym. Aww. Or whatever, and just hearing this faint like, thanks for calling so-and-so. My name's Damien. How can I help you today?
That's great.
From wherever. It's so funny.
Cute. That's
funny. And then like you'd immediately get off the clock and immediately charge up Dark Souls 2 or something that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd be like, all right, it's gamer time.
Time for video games. Finally, I can go home from work and stay in the exact same chair and just, oh, I was so happy. I also took long bathroom breaks.
Yeah, it was great. Honestly, that house, like, looking back, there's so many stories. Just
cause pictures?
I have some photos of my room when I
had
it
set
up. Yeah, it doesn't look as bad. Because what made it tough was not how it looked. What made it tough was just literally, like, what it was made of. Like, it was cement.
Fighting the elements?
Yeah, it was what it was. But it looked okay. But of the actual house, I don't think I have any, but I'm sure you do.
I don't. Well, I did... I think the day we moved in, I was very, I was having stomach problems. I don't know I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but I battled like major stomach issues for a long time and sometimes had trouble eating. Sometimes it would be like a day or two until I could do that again. We moved and I hadn't eaten in a long time and I was very out of it. So I was just moving my car for whatever reason. And then I took out this like brick structure leading to one of our staircases and I was like, well, great. First day, there goes security deposit.
Aww.
Should probably take a picture of this. So I'm sure I got a picture of that somewhere.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
I've messed up a couple security deposits. I still somehow get them back. The place where I live with the guys, the roommate one was fine, but Django chewed up the doors current one and the one I was living in previously, the one I hated. It was basically just like a little, it was so small.
You were there for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I think I was there for like 3 months.
Django did work.
Yeah, I tried to fix it myself. I used I used that paste to kind of like shape it and I sanded it back down, but I never repainted it. It was white, but yeah, I still got the deposit back and more because they were actually,
what?
That place was terrible. They lied about what my rent was. Oh, they lied about a lot of things. It was crazy.
That place is known for that. I don't think we can say the name,
no,
but like
we won't.
In LA, that place is known for being shady.
It was a place I lived at when I was a teenager when I first moved out here. It's an infamous place. You probably can guess it.
If you're in LA, you know what this is. But they gave you more money?
Okay, yeah. So, well, first of all, for the people listening or watching, if you're getting an apartment, try to find ones that are more like mom and pop vibes of the ownership or management. Sometimes that's better than a corporation because it's not as
there's
well
trade-offs,
taken
but corporate ones, you know, your rent is probably going to get raised by at least $100 every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
it's been
these,
my experience.
These people, they said in an email and on the tour, they said what my rent was going to be. And then when I started making those payments online, I started seeing like the base rent was like $100 more than what they said. And normally, like, first of all, they never responded to emails, ever.
Oh.
Like, until I moved. Like, they were super quick when I was getting in the process of moving in.
Of
but
course
once I
they
was
were.
In, yeah. Once I was in there, it was like you'd never get a response. And I had one specific person that I was always, like, trying to keep my work consistent with. Like, okay, I always talk to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call the office and be like, hey, I sent you an email. And he'd be like, yeah, what's up? I'd be like, read the email right now.
Yeah.
And like he would, and like a lot of times if it wasn't something, like I was lucky that in the email they said that my rent was going to be lower than what they were charging me. Otherwise it would have been like, well, sorry, you agreed to it on your contract. So you have to pay that. They also on the tour were like, oh yeah, no, security's great here. We're going to keep you super safe.
Bull dingus.
Nobody gets in. La, 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 la.
Everyone gets in there.
Yeah, dude, all I have to say is like, oh, I'm an Uber, and then they don't even check any credentials, like nothing. They just let you in. And like when I went back in my contract, and in your contract it says like, we did not tell you that we could keep you safe from anything. We have no responsibility over your security, and we did not tell you that we could keep you safe.
Get out of here.
Like literally
protecting their own people like that.
In super fine text, it's very small. It just says, we have tremors, don't worry about it. Wait, what's this thing about tremors? What? Just don't put your boombox on the ground.
Haven't heard of tremors in a long ass time.
I thought it was a perfect time for a tremors reference. Tremors is an awesome movie about giant monster worms that live underground that react to sound and will eat anything.
Tremors 2 is better, just so everyone knows.
Which is the one with Chuck Norris? Is that, there's one with Chuck Norris, is that, or am I completely making that up? Is that a weird childhood memory where like I made something up? Because I've seen, maybe I am making it up. It was Kevin Bacon in the first Tremors.
I saw a tweet the other day that
I thought Chuck Norris was in one of them. But I think I'm completely wrong. I think that's my memory.
Yeah, you saw
from when I was like 6 watching a movie making things up.
Mm. I saw a tweet the other day that was like
Chuck Norris.
Infinity's got it.
Hold on.
While you're looking
Yo,
for
Jimmy,
that.
Yo, Jimmy, pull that up.
Yeah, what, Dean?
While you're looking for that, I saw a tweet the other day that was like, was this a real animated movie or just a childhood fever dream starter kit?
And I saw that.
Rock-a-doodle-doo, Once Upon a Forest.
We're back.
We're back at Dinosaur Story. And then Rover Dangerfield.
Rover Dangerfield.
So Chuck Norris is not in them, but there is an assistant editor named Charles Norris who did Tremors 5 Blood.
You're probably thinking of the assistant editor.
I'm thinking of the assistant editor.
Sure. Yeah, it was silly. They made that mistake.
This is changing the subject kind of, but I remember watching Tremors when I was staying with my grandparents in Florida. I would stay with them for like a month or so in the summers when I was a kid, when I was like 7 to 12 years old. And back then, you know, there wasn't Netflix, there wasn't any. And back in my day, so I would end up watching so many weird random movies. And one time I was watching a Chuck Norris movie with my grandpa, and there comes a part in this movie. It's some cheesy, cheesy, like random Chuck Norris movie where like Chuck Norris and this other guy have like each other at a standoff. They both have their guns pointed at each other and they both drop their guns and like lift up their hands and they start, you know, throwing hands, roundhouse kicks, whatever. And my grandpa, like, in all earnest, just goes, now see, they drop their guns because they want to test each other's kung fu abilities. Like, dead serious. Like, he was just teaching you. He thought it was a teaching
moment.
What you're
going to have to do as a man, Shane.
No, see, what teaching they're doing here, grandson, is they're dropping their guns because they need to test each other in kung fu.
See, Chuck Norris knows wushu kwan, whereas this other guy's more of like a Shaolin kung fu style.
Like, legitimately breaking down a Chuck Norris movie.
That is so funny.
It was honestly very cute. Like, that's adorable. It's a very, like, adorable moment.
That's a good
moment.
Dude,
yeah, it's very funny.
You know what my grandpa used to do? He used to pirate DVDs and give them to us by the stack.
Hell yeah.
My grandpa could never. My grandpa is the most honorable man. He could not break a single law.
He's not like a dirty rogue like you, grandpa.
Yeah. Like your grandpa.
He would download the movies, cut out all the inappropriate parts, and then give them to us. And he would even like somehow get
the
cover of the DVD on the disc.
Now it's much more adorable.
That's great.
I like to think he recut movies so they'd have happy endings.
Yeah, like
Pulp Fiction,
sure.
They're all friends at the end.
It's just the dancing.
It's
and
just
that's how they
the
end
dancing.
It.
Like, hey. The problems.
I don't think I saw the sex scene in Titanic until I was like 13.
Wow.
Because I don't think I knew, like when, because Marissa had, because Titanic was so long. If you got it on VHS, it was in 2 tapes.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'd have to take out the first one, put in the next one, and I was like, what? There's 2 tapes?
I miss that sort of stuff, because I was the same with video games, too. There'd be some where you'd have to take out the first disc, put in the second.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got chills thinking of a boss you fight in Final Fantasy 7, and they're like, please enter disc 2, and I'm like, I finally did it! It was always my sister's game, so I could only get so far, and then when I finally made it to disc 2, I was like,
we killed Aerith. Now put in disc 2.
Dude, spoiler! You have to cut that out. They're doing the remake. So many people don't know.
Oh. If you don't know that by now, you're not a true gamer.
A lot of people out there aren't true
gamers. I guess that's fair.
That hurts.
What, you didn't know about that? You're not some kind of true gamer?
I'm a true gamer.
What's your thoughts on Final Fantasy VIII? Better or worse than 7?
I haven't played a single Final Fantasy.
I've
played lots of Lego. And lots of Dead or Alive and lots of Star Wars, buddy.
The same.
They're like 3 video games.
What do you think? Squall, Tidus, or a Cloud? Which one's best?
Obviously, Cloud.
Shane, good, fair answer.
Son.
Okay, let's, guys. Right. Thank you for joining us for Smoshcast today. Cool. This is over.
Gamercast is not happening.
Gamercast, dang it!
The answer is, was Ramza from Final Fantasy Tactics, by the way.
That's like Final Fantasy. That's like the anime of video games, isn't it?
No,
I wouldn't. I mean,
not really. There's more that are more anime than that,
like the Tales series.
Yeah, and that's the first RPG I ever played. Tales of Symphonia, baby. That shit changed my life. That was a great game.
Demon Frang!
Yeah, Kevin knows what I'm talking about.
He's nodding.
Editor. Yeah, it's a great game. Really, really cool, because you're trying to save the planet. You're trying to bring back, like happiness and joy to your world. And halfway through the game, you realize by doing so... Courtney's yawning, but listen, listen up. Halfway through the game, you realize by bringing light and everything back to your world, you're sucking it out of a parallel, like, dimension.
It was funny, because back on the days of Shane and I being on So Random, my dressing room was the one where we set up some game systems so we could actually... I used to be... I don't know why I wasn't reclusive back then, but at that point, I was like, hey, everyone, come hang out! So we played Tales of Symphonia together, and it only took, like, one or two boss fights where, like, I remember watching something happen. I'm like, there looks like there was a shadow in that portal. Like, there's someone on the other side. We're doing bad stuff right now, aren't we? We're going to end up being the bad guys, like we're doing the bad thing, and like that's the twist.
And I was like, Shane was just like,
yeah. It took me so long to figure out. You were also like 10, what?
You had your own dressing room?
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, we all had our own dressing rooms.
That's so... What were they like? How big were they?
They're pretty decent size.
About the size of this room.
I had Demi's old dressing room, I believe.
Really?
I believe mine
Demi
was...
Demi Lovato?
Was it haunted?
It was haunted by Demi Lovato.
He's still very much alive.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
No, they were very cool. It was a sweet setup. God, I remember one time playing Doug... I was playing our castmate Doug Brochu at Super Smash Brothers, mm-hmm. and I was on a winning streak, and he got so mad, he slammed his feet down so hard that everyone in the entire hallway of dressing rooms heard, and like some people came to our room and was like, is everything okay?
Oh my like, God.
Yeah, so we're just kicking some arse, don't even worry about it.
And I would save I started saving every script, and we would go through four different scripts every week, because mm-hmm. we'd have several like writer's drafts, production drafts, whatever, and final drafts. And by the end of my stint on So Random, that stack was like 6 feet tall.
Mm. Lots of paper.
And that wasn't all of them. That was just from when I started, which was like halfway through.
I wish I still had those. I don't believe
I do. I have a couple scripts. You do? I've kept that's a lot cool. of scripts. I have a script from my guest star on iCarly. Every guest star I ever did, I kept the script. I kept a script from the indie film I did in 2008.
That's so cute.
Kept some So Random ones. Yeah.
I did that for my like Cartoon Network. I do it for voiceover stuff. Aww. So I did it for like my Cartoon Network stuff.
Was there like a lot of downtime when you guys were on So Random?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember it was one of our final weeks on So Random, and me, Damien, and Matthew Scott watched the final episode of Oprah. Remember that? It was one of our final days on So Random, and so we all watched the final episode of Oprah.
Wow.
And yeah, I remember that. That was like kind of a very sad moment, because it was just like, wow, Oprah's ending.
Everything's ending. And so Random, Oprah, there's no TV left.
Yeah. You guys knew it was going to be the final, like...
We knew the season was ending, and I mean, some of us... We all had different hopes of if the show would get renewed or not. I had a feeling that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. I was very like pessimistic about it. I think you were
I was very hopeful, because here's the thing about it. Disney shows usually go 3 or 4 seasons, because that's enough. A generation grows up with that show, loving that show, then they age out of it, and then the show is done by the time they mm-hmm. like age out of it. Also, like, you know, you make more money each year with your contract, so they don't always let things go too far. It's a smart money-making move for Disney TV. Our show was a spin-off of Demi Lovato's show. It was Sunny with a Chance, and it became...
I loved that show.
Exactly. But, like, after 4 or 5 years, you wouldn't have probably mm-hmm. been into it, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it was a spin-off where they took the sketch show that was within that show and made its own thing called So Random. But contractually, it was not a new thing. It was the fourth year of Sunny with a Chance. And you had mm-hmm. a lot of those actors who had been there for all 4 years. So it had kind of run its... course. And on top of that, part of their like business model, at least as I understand it, is if you look like something, you know, like Bella Thorne's show, Shake It Up or Kickin' It or something like that, they can sell the lunchboxes. They have the Bella Thorne clothing line at Walmart mm-hmm. that you can buy. They have all that. You don't get to do that with a sketch show.
Yeah.
And so
that's
there was
how they
just,
make the most money. Yeah.
I think probably one of the weirdest things in my life has been when I joined Smosh and just hearing all the same exact things being said about me that I had heard years prior on So Random.
What do you mean?
Really?
Which is, I hate all these new people. Oh, it was better when Demi was on. Mm-hmm. And now then it became, I hate when Smosh added all these new people. And then it was better when Anthony was on. And I'm just like, it's the same exact situation.
It's hard, man.
Yeah. It's so interesting. People are just resistant to change, I think. But it's necessary and there's no option. Like with So Random, there was no choice. Like that's just what mm-hmm. both parties wanted. And
what was your guys' first encounter with each other?
I know the exact moment. I bumped the table. Sorry.
How dare shuffled. You?
Shane had already been on the show for a week or so. By the time I joined, they were adding people very slowly. And so I remember getting on a set, not knowing exactly where I was going, but walking by Shane. And for whatever reason, I know this sounds corny, but for whatever reason, I felt like, I'm going to know that dude.
Aww.
Interesting. And so, yeah, then I went up for the table read and he was there. We introduced ourselves and there you go.
I remember, it was the table read that I really like saw him. And I was nervous at first because I had done one episode. Mm-hmm. So they brought me on for one episode. And I had assumed, because it was me and like two or three other new people on top of this new cast. So I was like, oh, cool. Like we're the new cast that they're adding. Mm-hmm. And then so I was like, I'm doing a good job. Like I felt pretty good about how I did that episode. The next week I see Damien and I go, oh God, I did a terrible job and they're replacing me.
Oh,
that was my initial thought. It was nothing to do with you. I was like, oh God, like
I would have thought the same thing.
Crap, like whatever. And then you were in the table read, you were crushing it because you had like, they all kind of like took characters. Some characters that we'd kind of done in our auditions mm-hmm. or whatever. So you had like, what was it that you did? Was it, what was your character?
The ones that I did in the table read, they all wrote for me. It wasn't anything
really?
I don't think.
What was the one that you did first? It was like the something kid in school.
Zombie Man or Olaf Glutella.
Olaf Glutella was the one.
Okay.
Olaf Glutella.
He was a fake foreign exchange student.
it was really great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then it kind of the same thing happened the following week, which is when our friend Matthew Scott joined.
I thought he joined before me.
Did he join?
I thought it was you and Matthew Scott, and then I came on.
Were you the third week?
I think so.
Then I'm getting things mixed up because both times then I was like, oh God, this person's replaced me.
Matthew Scott was after because I thought the same thing. I was like, he's funny as hell.
Because Matthew Scott came in and Matthew Scott just has a presence about him and mm-hmm. he did this character that did become a huge hit on the show. Mm-hmm. If I had known like, and I eventually realized after like week four that I was like, we're all just staying on. That's awesome.
Well, here's the problem. They brought us on as guest stars, right? And so the way things are organized for TV, if you're like a main, you know, cast member, then you're there. You're pretty much there every week. If you're a co-star, it's like a guest situation. And that's sort of what they kept us at. So they were like, hey, we're going to bring you on for like 2 to 3 weeks at a time and then, you know, nothing else. And be like, great. So we would do those 2 weeks and be like, I don't know. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, we're going to bring you on for a couple more. And it'd be like, oh great, finally, more work. That's awesome. And so it wasn't until pretty much near the end of it that I was like, oh, we're doing a full season of a show. But people ask like, what was it like getting the news that you were on this show? And I'm like, I never got that news. Yeah. I literally thought like, okay, cool. One more week of work.
Yeah. They would let us know every week if mm-hmm. we were on the next episode.
That's crazy.
It's kind of savage.
They would all make sure that we missed one episode each so that they could keep us as guest stars.
Is that why they did that?
That is why, because legally speaking, you can't be a regular. I don't think. But it was very specific that we all were in 25 out of 26 episodes.
That's crazy,
dude. Pretty brutal.
Disgusting.
Because I remember it was also they, I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but my manager at one point, because it was like week seven, my manager was like, hey, what are the chances of him becoming a regular? And they're like, it's not possible. And also, we don't need him for next week's episode. And I was just like, all right, they are going for it. And I remember that week just sucked because I'm just like, because at that point we were all friends, whatever. So I'm like, great, they're all there filming an episode and I'm at home. Like, I'm not even a regular, so I don't have any way to get on set. Mm-hmm. That week, I am literally not allowed to go on that lot. Like, I'm not allowed there. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, I'm forbidden now for this week and then I'll be back.
That's weird, man.
8 straight months on that show, but we were never officially on it. Yeah. It was really trippy. It's a trippy experience. We even went to D23.
We did.
We went to D23.
The Disney convention.
Disney's VidCon. And
But the show had not premiered by that time yet, I don't think. So especially for us new casts, like people never knew who we were. Like, especially, we would have a live audience taping, and they'd be like, oh, we got one of the stars of the show. Bring out Shane Topp and Damien Haas. And all the kids would be like,
Who?
Where's Denim?
And like, dude.
Bring out Denim La Bamba.
Denim La Bamba. Dude.
So it was very weird. And so, again, I talked about this the other day with someone, but like, because we never filmed at a time when the show had already premiered, and because I became sort of a recluse after that and went to the gym during the day when kids are in school, went to the grocery store during the day when kids are in school, I didn't get recognized for So Random for like years. And so I assumed like, ah, nobody watched that show. Aww. So it wasn't until we joined Smosh that people were like, I didn't put that together that those were, he's Zombie Man and those were the anime bros, which characters Shane and I pitched.
Yeah,
and,
you guys were just, I happened to show that video this morning.
Someone tweeted it to me today,
so
which is cool.
Yeah, Anime Brothers.
It was fun. I will say, I was obsessed with Sunny with a Chance. I was I watched a lot of Disney Channel when I was growing up, and like, I was obsessed with that show. That first episode where Sunny comes in, I feel like that was exactly how I was when I came into Smosh. Just like, I'm here. Who's that? Who's that? And like, I remember eventually seeing like, oh, what's this? So Random? Okay, I wonder what it, that's, it's probably the same thing,
you,
right?
Oh, so you saw it. But...
And I think I saw like a couple episodes and I was like,
wasn't a fan.
What's this? And I was like, oh, I get it. Okay, so this was the sketch show that they were making.
Right.
Okay. Click.
Yeah. You actually just reminded me of something kind of funny. Years before Sunny with a Chance was the thing, the original pitch name was Sketchpad. And I know that because when I was a teenager, I auditioned for that. I think the
I auditioned for that too.
What?
Oh, wait, I heard about it and I couldn't get an audition for it somehow.
I auditioned for it and went back for like three rounds. And this was when I was still in Atlanta. And I didn't end up booking it, but it was for one of the like main, I don't know if it was like Sterling Knight's part or whatever. But when I walked into the audition room years later for So Random, I was like, this sounds like the same thing. Like Sketchpad was supposed to be a sketch show. It became Sunny with a Chance and then it became back So Random. So when I walk in, it's the same casting director. And she says, oh my gosh, I remember you. I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to see what you've got. And I was like, that's the best way ever to start
an
audition.
That's awesome.
And I flippin' booked it. So it was like,
casting directors have the most insane memory.
They do.
They really do. They'll remember.
Shout out Cheryl Levine. Can
do
I say
not-
that?
Yeah.
Shout out Cheryl Levine. I love you and miss
do
you.
Do not murder
well.
Anyone in front of a casting director because they will remember your face, your name, your expressions. I always forget that I knew Sterling Knight when I was a teenager.
Interesting.
I knew him and we knew, like, and then I ended up booking that and it was like, oh, hey, how's it going, man? Good
so
to see you again.
Sup, dude. Sup, dude.
Sup. What's up, man?
So,
yeah, So Random was a weird time, man. It seems like this weird fantasy like dream that happened for
it's
a
long time ago, but also not that long ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really not. It was only
8 or 9
what,
years.
I was 20, so it was only 7 years ago that it ended.
7 years. Mm.
Yeah, closer to 8, but still, that's not that long ago. But it feels like a different age.
Yeah.
Wow. So and here you are doing sketch comedy still.
Here we are.
Yeah,
you're doing
and,
it.
And here you are. Hanging
here's
with
me.
The two guys from your favorite show.
Yeah.
So
Courtney's
Rumbus.
Favorite show.
With Denim La Bamba.
Denim La Bamba. On some rhombus.
I just love when I get DMs that are like, were you on That's So Random? They still, everyone still calls it That's So Random.
Oh, that's
just
funny.
So random.
Yeah.
Dude, that's nuts.
That's so random.
Yeah, and then I got the Smosh job on one of my first auditions ever.
That's rad.
That's nuts.
How old were you?
I was...
You were 12.
I was 19. I was 19.
Wow, crazy.
I was 19, about to turn 20.
Couldn't even vote.
I was 35.
Wow.
Now I'm younger. I actually somehow, I think I do look younger now than I did when I
really?
Joined.
Is
I think
it the
I
hair
looked
color?
I think I looked like a dad when I joined. I'd also just the way I dressed and everything.
Oh, and you kept
just,
your hair dark, like Courtney was saying.
My hair was dark still when I joined, but I just think I also just didn't, I don't know. I just didn't give a crap at that point.
So cute. What did you look like, Damien?
When I first joined,
I
was just coming out of my stomach issue stuff, and so I was much thinner, but not in like a super healthy way. It was just
like freaky skinny?
Not freaky skinny.
Like Stephen King's thinner.
No, I was just like a lot skinnier. had mostly wore my glasses. Yeah, I also was like broke as a joke for a long time before joining Smosh. So like, new clothes, what are those? I'll wear hand-me-downs for my boss at the retail store that I work.
Oh like, my God.
And they were often like stained and I'm like, whatever, cool, thanks for the clothes.
Wow.
They're 4 year ago fashions, but that's dope, I'll take them.
I was wearing hand-me-downs for up until I was like 15, I started finally being able to like get my own clothes.
Nice.
I wore my wardrobe was so small when I joined. I didn't have a ton of money, but also that's how I was. I had one pair of boots that I wore every day. I had one pair of jeans that I'd wear a lot.
Bad.
And then just a couple shirts that I would rotate through. But that's kind of like an actor wardrobe because you just are like, well, I can't wear logos. I'm going to generally wear blue for auditions.
Yep.
So I'm going to keep this
blue.
That's
so crazy.
And then what I also wore, what I started wearing a lot shortly after joining, was I would wear shorts with a tank top and like a button-up short sleeve shirt over that and flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
And our Surfacing. Head writer, Ryan, despised it. He hated it so much. And I would come in just with my flip-flops to work, and he'd be like, oh, so this is what you're, this is what you're doing today. And I'm just like, you got it.
You dress like a tourist coming to California being like, I gotta fit the part. I gotta look like a Californian.
Cali,
baby.
Cali life.
Oh my God. My fashion was weird. It was just mostly me trying to hide my crippling insecurities.
I feel that.
It was like in between her fashion. We were like, I'm just, like I wore the flannel around my hips to make my hips look bigger, but like... there's not a lot going on
there. I feel like that's what people wear when they're teenagers. Because that's kind of how I dressed up until I was like, honestly, like 22.
To make your hips look bigger?
Yeah, to make my hips look bigger. No, but I would wear things based more on what did I want to hide.
Yeah.
As opposed to now I dress in a way of like, oh, this looks cool. This is crazy. Yeah. This will pop.
Totally. So, yeah. You know. We're so cute now.
We're all just honestly very cute. Make sure to watch the video version of this podcast to see how cute we look.
Yes, do that. And the video version comes out on Fridays. If you just want to hear us, you get to hear all the swear words, which I don't think we said a whole lot of swear words.
We dropped a couple S's and one F, and then you had a JC, but it's whatever.
What's a JC?
Just Jesus Cristo.
Oh, just chilling. Just chilling.
Oh, whoa. Do you know how many baby angels you just killed by saying that? Calm it down, Miller.
The full audio version comes out on Wednesdays, full video version on Fridays. If you love us, hit the bell. There's a bell somewhere, you'll
hit
find it.
Hit the bell if you love
and
us.
If you don't hit
the bell, then that means you don't love us.
Hitting that bell is a little equivalent to giving us a little kiss right below the right eye.
On each individual cornea.
And if you also, side note, if you don't go watch Tinder for Hot Dogs right now, I don't care if you've already watched it, you need to go watch it again right now. That video, if that video doesn't get 1 million views, if it's not at 10 million views, if it's not the number one, if Jimmy Fallon isn't looking up to Tinder for Hot Dogs going, how do I do that? Then I swear the sun is going to explode.
Dude.
Please. Saying please never hurts.
Or at the very least, if you want to check out the Tinder for Hot Dogs merch or our other Smosh merch, we have those on Smosh.store. Check them out.
Our merch is so comfy.
Yeah.
You can do anything in our merch. If you wear our shirts, you will be more powerful.
Dude, we're going to get sued.
Yeah, the FCC is going to be...
You can't promise that t-shirts will FTC? Make people more powerful. It'll give you +1 charisma.
And +2 against ogres.
Yeah, +2 against ogres.
Nice.
+1 charisma.
The water bottle gives you +3 stamina.
But you have to take an exotic penalty because it's an exotic weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
Dang it.
The Tinder for Hot Dog shirt, though, gives you +1 at all stats.
Mm.
Charm.
All stats.
Agility,
you're in good hands.
Style. Strength.
I think Tinder for Hot Dog's shirt would be one of those that has, like, a drawback where it's, like, you know, you get, like, +10 strength, and you're like, oh, but, like, -5 wisdom, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So you have to... Because, you know, Tinder for Hot Dogs is dumb as hell. I love it. It's dumb as hell. But also very powerful.
It's incredible. It's the greatest thing, and the video is even
better. I mean that in a good way.
Listen, look, there are haters out there. There are doubters.
I'm not a hater.
Damien is the number one doubter of Tinder for Hot Dogs.
Prove him wrong.
Prove Damien wrong.
I love Tinder for Hot Dogs. I just think it's lunacy.
No, this is us going for it.
Look, Damien, you're not
alone.
Everyone is doubting Tinder for Hot Dogs.
It's weird.
That's why it is an underdog story.
Get out of here.
Guys, How have I not used that up until now? Holy crap. Yeah. Guys, it is an under hot dog story.
All right, we got to get out of here. I need to go watch some Sunny with Chance.
And yeah, I got to go take a bathroom in Courtney's bathroom.
Hey.
And okay. I need to make sure that you're all watching Tinder for hot dogs.
You boys are so cute. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for letting me host.
Thanks, Courtney.
Appreciate it, Courtney. My gosh. I'm so happy that this happened.
Shucks.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye.
We got to go.
All right, we have to leave now.
Okay.
Gross.
Bye.
Oh, my eyes.